Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 FIAF Congress here in Bologna, and Il Cinema Ritrovato is starting in a few days too. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Oliver Hanley, who is the head of the film collection at the Austrian Film Museum. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, first question is very simple, just a quick overview of what the Austrian Film Museum is for our listeners that might not be familiar with it.
Okay, so the Austrian Film Museum is a cinematheque, it's also a film archive, founded in 1964, so just a bit over 50 years old, in the city of Vienna by a filmmaker and a film enthusiast who were disappointed with the way that particularly historical and international film culture was being presented in the city, and created the film museum as their perfect place for enjoying film culture in Vienna, and it has grown to become much more than that. Besides, it's been a member of the FIAF, the International Federation of Film Archives, since 1965. It has a film collection, a photo collection, paper collection, collection of technical apparatus, everything to do with film and the apparatus surrounding film. The film collection itself is, to date, I think, comprises somewhere between 20 or 25,000 individual films of various types. And our main focus is kind of basically, you know, the entire spectrum of the medium film in terms of both film as an art form, but also film as a historical document, which is already quite broad in itself. So in order to kind of refine that, we have five key collection areas. One is the work of the great Soviet and Russian filmmakers from 1918 to 1945. We have a strong focus on independent cinema, both at home and abroad. And an affinity with many avant-garde film artists and independent filmmakers who have been kind of marginalized by more industry-oriented national film archives, yeah, or something like that. So, you know, if you don't have a studio to protect your films, who's going to do it for you? And
exactly,
that's,
yeah,
kind of where we've jumped on board and managed. We have large collections of a number of international filmmakers, their original camera elements, partly, which we're committed towards preserving in the long run. We also have a strong focus on the filmmakers, actors, whatever, who were all born in the former Austro-Hungarian Empire and later emigrated and were quite successful, guys like von Stroheim or von Sternberg. And another key collection area that has been more heavily explored in most recent years is this aspect of non-industrial and ephemeral film formats. So everything from newsreels through to trailers, through to outtakes, through to all this kind of strange paraphernalia about film production on film, through to amateur films and home movies and things like that.
That already widens the scope of what a lot of people think, that just the concept of like any average film archive, film stored in a room somewhere. It's kind of more than that. It needs the right temperatures, it needs a lot of different things. And could you maybe like describe exactly what it is like, especially in the Austrian Film Museum, the condition in which these films have to be kept and even the documents?
Sure, I mean, storage is key to the whole thing, because if you don't have good storage, you can't do anything else with it. You know, you need to keep the films under good conditions in order to be able to prolong their longevity. But if you don't store them properly, then there's also no point restoring them later and doing all these other activities around film. So for us, we are currently actually in the process of renovating and expanding our film archive. So the vault primarily, which will finally bring us up to the contemporary standards with respect to both temperature and relative humidity, which are both key factors towards prolonging the longevity of the films. The film museum itself then pursues three main activity areas. So there's kind of everything around the whole collecting, preserving, restoring side of things. Then there's the showing,
yeah,
of course. The cinema is really the heart of the film museum. It's really founded as a screening room. But there were, of course, practical benefits of building a collection, but as we get, you know, as time moves on, it becomes more and more important to have your own collection to draw on, because access to the films is going to become more and more difficult, because with time they become more rare.
Yeah.
You know, archives become less willing to hand them out, you know, and we are dependent upon other archives, because we, you know, we have what I think is a fairly broad collection, but it's not broad enough to match what we try to do, the kind of the aims we try to reach with our screening activities. If you want to do a complete retrospective of a filmmaker and you don't have all his films, you need to get them from someplace. So we are absolutely dependent on other providers, particularly other film archives, and that's why a network like the FIAF is so essential, especially in modern times.
Yeah. Just as an example for our listeners, maybe, what would have been an example of a recent title that was maybe added to the collection, or a recent title that was, restored mm-hmm. recently from the museum?
Well, screening at this festival, we have four short films by a Yugoslavian, a Slovenian filmmaker working in the early 1970s, which we did in cooperation with the Slovenian Cinematheque. Mm-hmm. Four films by Karpo Godina. Higher profile restorations in recent years were definitely the restoration of Mysterious Object at Noon, the first film by Pichat Bombay Erceteku, which, despite only being 15 years old now, was, you know, comes from a country, in this case Thailand, which didn't really have an established form of a culture of film preservation, let's say, that meets what we've been doing in the West. So, and Erceteku at the time donated his master element, which was the 35mm blow-up negative. Unfortunately, the 16mm original element that ran through the camera is lost since the time of the film's creation.
Yeah.
But now, of course, that the Thai Film Archive has come on in leaps and bounds, and they now do have really got to grips with the issue of preservation, we repatriated the negative last year. But that was a big, high-profile project done in cooperation with the World Cinema Project, which is kind of the subsidy of the Film Foundation set up by Martin Scorsese to encourage and support restoration projects. And in this case, the World Cinema Project really focuses on films from developing countries. Is a bit of an old-school term, but, you know, countries which just where the films have been neglected or are in dire need of help to be restored, and of course important works by important filmmakers.
Of course, yeah. That kind of leads me to another question.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the silent early cinema and it's the rare films, but it's also modern films, and one of the practices that I guess are kind of damaging the preservation of films nowadays is that a lot of filmmakers don't really think about that stage of preserving their film at all nowadays. So do you get a lot of new films in your archive, and how do you try to promote the idea of storing your films?
Yeah, well, we don't have any kind of mandate to store all the films produced within the country or something like that. So there's two film archives in Austria, and the other institution is dealing mainly with the locally produced films, at least in terms of larger scale. What we try to encourage is, particularly with the crossover to digital and this kind of instantaneousness of filmmaking and really living for the moment. And now that, the quality has just reached such a point that you can do things with your little SLR camera and your laptop that would still be showable in at least any small art house cinema, and a lot of people work like this because they just don't have the money to do it otherwise.
Mm.
And of course, these people don't think about long-term storage. You know, at best, they maybe have a hard drive where they've got some of the stuff stored, but you drop that thing and that stuff could be lost forever. So what we try to encourage in our way, following our kind of curatorial method, it's not about mass for us, it's really about targeting key individuals or key waves of people or key genres, and actively encouraging the filmmakers to think about their, the longevity of their work, to think about us, and offering them the possibility, with at least with digital conservation. And it was the same in the past. You contact, you try to get their materials in now. So In essence, the basic tasks are the same, just the tools and the products are a little different.
Yeah. Better?
I am not strictly speaking, you know, I mean, digital has its benefits, particularly for producers of film, whereas analog, of course, we still held to be the best, most durable material for the long-term conservation. That's not to say we should stick our heads in the sand and ignore digital. Absolutely not. I think we have to see them really as separate things. Digital to be conserved digitally, analog to be conserved analog.
Great, great. Well, thank you very much for your detailed answers. Hopefully they will give more insight to the people that aren't familiar with all of the activities of the Film Museum, but also of Film Archiving in general. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.